Oh, mate, it's 23 if you're just joining me now. Well, good afternoon. This is the Afternoon Drive. Casey Dove with me, Suhail. I'm in for Brad this afternoon. Now, as mentioned before, I'll be speaking to Stefan Botha. Now, debt isn't always about a bad thing, especially when you use it strategically to build a long-term wealth through property investment. Now, joining me online is Stefan Botha, Director of Rainmaker Marketing, to unpack the difference between good and bad debts and how South Africans can make smarter, more empowered financial decisions in the real estate, especially in the real estate space. Stefan, good afternoon. Lovely to actually have you here this afternoon. How are you?
Hello, Sal. Thanks for having me. It's great to be on your show.
Great, man. I heard so much about you guys. I want to simply get into it. Stefan, simple terms, in layman terms, what is the difference between good debt and bad debt? And why is understanding this distinction so important in today's financial climate?
That's a good question. I think everyone asked. I think the reality is that debt in many instances has a negative connotation. It doesn't have to be that way. I think we've always spoken about good debt, and good debt can be stuff like a taking out a mortgage to buy a property that can generate wealth and create generational wealth. Or it could be something like a student loan that you're doing for a specific purpose to unlock a future where you're going to grow wealth. Or even a business loan if done correctly. And then I think the bad, if we were to refer to as bad debt, would be more sort of your stuff that is putting you in a worse financial position in terms of a credit card, micro lending, and so forth. And when we look at it in a property context in terms of good debt, it's taking a mortgage bond out to be able to generate wealth through property investments. And we can unpack in a second, but it's really got to be seen in the right light, and obviously the key components. You must overextend yourself, and you must identify the right opportunities. But that is sometimes a misconception, sometimes something that stops people from getting into the property market at a time that would be beneficial to them, I guess.
Now, okay, you actually answered the second question, but I want to get into that, and I would like you to unpack that whole scenario about good debt, and especially where the property investment fits into it. So if it's good debt to have a property, how does it work? Is it you must have multiple properties, renting out, making an income out of it, and letting the property pay for itself? So just unpack it for me quickly.
No, I think it's that whole process of other people's money. And I think in this instance, it generally is the bank's money. So I think a lot of times people will see a price tag on a piece of property, be it sort of 2 million, for example. And they might be like, well, I don't have 2 million. How on earth am I going to afford it? But the reality is bank financing is there to allow you to be able to secure a property to that value. You're obviously not paying 2 million. You're paying monthly installments that are related to the interest rate at that particular time. So let's say it's 2 million, let's just say roughly it's 20 grand a month, which you're then going to take into context. You might be spending 20 grand a month on rental, for example, if it's a buy to live property, or you might be able to get a tenant in to cover a certain amount of that in rental income. But the biggest thing people don't understand is that because you've locked in the purchase price at that value, when you see appreciation on the value of the property, if it goes from 2 million to 2.5 million. It's not like you've invested 2 million to get out that capital appreciation. The bank's money has actually allowed you to score on the upside of the property.
Right.
And I think that's what people often don't understand. And I think in many instances, we look at off-plan property investments where people are buying a development that is launching now, but only going to be completed in a couple of years' time. And what they don't understand is they actually, in some cases, are securing or locking in that property with a very low deposit. And yes, bank financing, which is important, affordability is important. But then they're often also riding the value appreciation of that property between when you secure it and when you take transfer. So if you are buying an off-plan property now and it's valued at 1.5 million, by the time it's complete, it's actually valued at maybe 1.8 to 1.9. And you've scored on that, but you've still been quite fixed in your thing, and you haven't had to pay anything until the property actually transfers. So there are lots of clever ways to be able to do it, whether you are someone looking to buy to live as a family or whatever, or if you're looking at as an investor. The key is, again, it all comes down to affordability. You just got to make sure that you have taken factors into consideration, not gone above your means. But there are a lot of positives that people don't necessarily understand. And that's why I think we take such great joy in trying to educate people on understanding properly an investment and the fundamentals behind it.
All right. So, okay. Now, and especially first-time buyers, I want to get to them because there's a lot of them, and they tend to get either the wrong advice or just so there's a lot of debt at the end of the day, and they don't know how to get out of it. So, what should first-time property buyers keep in mind when considering debt as a tool to build wealth?
So how, I mean, the old adage, because it's a big cliche, location, location, location. It's vitally important that if you're a first-time buyer, that you're clear on what the purpose is of that investment, whether it's investment or it's for you, because you are looking at something that's good that you're going to grow into and then a potential evolve in future. Location is vitally important. And I think, I mean, we're basically, if you're talking about an area like Paul, for example, that we all know so well, you look at that greater Paul, Stellenbosch, Somerset West, listen, we're going through a great, great period in that market. And so generally, it helps a lot because you've got especially the Western Cape as a whole, it's a really, really good, strong property growth here. So that's number one. Then number two is making sure that if you take the repayments into consideration, that those tie in with your affordability. And you've got to put buffers in. You've got to, if you're an investor, and you're a first-time investor, for example, you'll make buffers. Maybe for 1 month, your tenant might not pay, whatever. You've got to take all those buffers into consideration. And you've got to understand that you probably will have to tighten your belt for a while. It might mean shopping differently. It might be tightening up in costs. Because it might cost you a little bit more to own a property when you add levy and rates and all that kind of stuff than it might be when you're renting. But the long-term benefits of being able to generate wealth over a period of time far outweighs that. And what we always say to first-time buyers is you will get a bond from a bank. It's maybe a 20-year term or it might be a 30-year term depending on how you negotiate. Any savings you have, put it into that thing. Because the bank will give you minimum payments, which is what they require. But the more you can pay off upfront, it has an exponential effect into how quickly you can pay off the bond and then be in a position where you are cash-free or debt-free in a shorter period than the bond term. And so there are a lot of different things. But again, selecting well is so important.
You know what? I actually saw that now with one of my cars. I've actually put on more onto it than literally just paying the current amount that they're requesting me. And I can see there is I've got a lot of space to work with. If my belt's a little bit too tight and I can't afford it this month, they will tell me no, it's fine. We can grab from the loan amount and just take it from there. So would you say that is also a good thing?
Yeah, it is. I mean, another thing about a bond is, I think people understand, is that in many cases you can have an access bond facility where you have the ability to pull money out of that access facility once you have a creative facility. So it's also another way of being able to unlock further opportunities going forward. But yes, the first period of a bond term is largely your interest. So the quicker you can get stuck into the interest and start paying off the capital value of the bond, the better. And that's where we see huge increase. It's just small. It could be a couple of hundred rand a month. More than your minimum value that you need to pay in has a huge, huge benefit over a period of time.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, Stefan, we're talking to Stefan over the director at... I do apologize. Sorry, I do apologize. Something got stuck in my throat now. Stefan Botha, the director of Rainmaker Marketing. And we're talking about property and what is good debt, what is bad debt, and just getting getting some insights of what you need to look out for. And the one thing I actually want to look at is what are some red flags or signs that debt could turn into bad decisions, even in property?
Yeah, so listen, it's interesting. I mean, we have, I think literally it was like 15 minutes ago that the Reserve Bank announced that the interest rate is coming down by 0.25%.
Are you serious?
Which is really, really good for, it's the lowest it's been in a couple of years, which is great. So prime lending rate is now at 10.75%, and that's good because that stimulates activity in the market. But those are factors. I mean, when you're going into a cycle of rising interest rates, those are obviously challenges, and those are when people who own property need to then be very, very conscious about costs. And also, if you're investing into properties that don't have revenue-generating opportunities, we see it a lot where people are investing into land because they're investing into a new estate, for example, and they can make a return on that, and it works, and we do it, and so forth. But that could potentially be a red flag when you're sitting with something for longer and you've got rates and you've got levies and so forth on it, and you're not generating income against that. That might put you under a lot of financial pressure. But again, it's about selecting right and it's about finding the right opportunity. But again, it just comes be making sure that you've built provisions in for things that you don't expect. There could be special levies, there could be rates increases, there could be a lot of different things. Mm. But in the end, if you manage your finances correctly, the positives way outweigh the negatives.
Okay, now with the good news, especially with the shift in the interest rate now today, tell me quickly, how is this going to affect the new homeowners in total to use the debt wisely?
Yeah, so the interest rates have a huge impact. I mean, it's the market, we always say, is driven largely by its fundamentals first, but fundamentals drive sentiment. And we see it. I mean, we saw it post-COVID when the interest rates were at the lowest they've been in 40-odd years, what it did to stimulate the market.
Yes.
It allows people to be able to secure bonds, which they might not have been able to do before. I mean, obviously, a 0.25 increase isn't going to have a earth-shattering impact, but we've had a 3 or 4 in a row, which does add up quite significantly. Banks are generally a bit more optimistic, and the reality is your monthly costs are lower. Obviously, the higher your loan amount, the higher the saving, but it does have a significant impact. It really, really stimulates the economy and the property market, and it's stuff we really, really need to celebrate. And again, it's the type of opportunities where if you've been sitting on the fence about investing and you know the right area and so forth. I mean, the other risk we spoke about earlier is if you can't resell your property and you want to resell your property, but again, if you choose the right area, you should have the issue of that. So it really is a good time for people to think very wisely about whether it's not now the opportunity to, instead of rent, trying to get into the market and trying to see what they can afford.
Actually, I wanted to ask you this one question. How is it important to choose, you said it obviously, to the right area for your property. How do you choose that actually?
No, it's a golden question. I think we look at like pockets of excellence, and listen, the Western Cape's got plenty at the moment.
Mm.
But that Paul Stellenbosch Summers is the West area at the moment has done exceptionally well.
And it's getting expensive.
It's seeing what the different opportunities are. I think that the beauty is you've got in our space where we work for property developers and take their product to market for them, you're seeing a lot of developers in the areas finding a variety of product, whether it be your entry-level estates or whether it be your... So there's a little bit for everyone. And again, it's identifying, in that case, who's the developer, do they have a track record, can you get in at launch early when the pricing is generally the best? There are lots of different factors to it, but it's really trying to do your homework, and generally there are certain areas. I mean, we look at most areas in the Cape at the moment, and there's certain pockets of real excellence around the country at the moment, and it's normally gravitating towards those. We actually do a report every quarter. We focus in different regions, and it does actually paint quite a good picture of which areas are really performing versus others that aren't necessarily.
Thank you very much, Stefan, for spending some time with us and just taking us through the processes and looking at good debt, bad debt. Thank you for educating us. And I would actually love to get this conversation, pick it up again on a later stage.
No, so would I. And thanks for your time. It's been awesome being on your show.
All right, thank you. All right, guys, there you have it, guys. Understanding the difference between good and bad debt, especially when it comes to the property market. You can actually truly, it actually helped me now a lot. Trust, it helped you literally securing your future and your financial future, obviously. That was Stefan Botha of Aurum Rainmaker Marketing. He's actually the director right there now. I'm going to leave the door open for you, Silk Sonic, Bruno Mars, Anderson Park. This is coming up. Trust that he opened up the door for you to purchase the right property at the right time in the right place. KC Drive, good afternoon.